I have failed Lent. I have to be honest. I feel like we're like not even halfway in, and I feel like I have failed Lent this year. I don't know. I usually love Lent. It's my favorite sacred time, and I got the book that we recommended for last, the 40 Days of Prayer, I've read like three.
If you failed Lent, I'm like, I'm beyond fail. Is there like something beyond fail? Because I don't even have the book.
Yeah. It's a great book. It really is a great book.
Of course it is.
But, you know, as I, thinking about we're approaching Easter and we just had Ash Wednesday and we're in Lent. And this is reminding me that we've been in COVID lockdown for a year now.
For a solid year. And I think where we're at is we've given a lot up over this last year. We've added some things that we definitely needed to add to our lives to become better people for our communities and for this country. And maybe it's just been a year of Lent. We're exhausted.
I think what else can I give up, right? I've given up all the things that usually fill me back up, the community and going out to eat with restaurants, you know, going out to eat with friends and family. You know, I've added things. I feel like my capacity for adding things.
Right.
And we need to shift our perspective and reflect on the last year of Lent, you know, the last year of really giving things up and adding things in and see where that is. Yeah.
Well, I think we're going to have a good discussion today. I am definitely sensing that. So we are so excited to have you here with us. Sit down, get ready, grab a cup of coffee, grab a cup of tea, and just enjoy. This is The Collective Table. I'm Dana, and this is Chelsea.
All right, so here we are in the middle of Lent, like we said.
Yep.
What is Lent, though? I think we need to talk about what is Lent. We talked about what Ash Wednesday was in our last episode.
Yes.
But what is Lent?
So like Ash Wednesday, Lent is not in the Bible. It's not as if we can tell you, go to this particular passage and read the process of Lent. It's not there. And so where did this come from? Well, it is one of the oldest Christian traditions, most likely started or began in the second century. It has evolved. And so while we think of it as 40 days, it's probably unlikely that it was 40 days in the beginning. It was probably a couple of days, and it was really centered around baptism. Because baptism in the very beginning, as we've talked about baptism a couple of episodes ago, but baptism was often a year-long process in the first century, second century. And so Lent has evolved, like a lot of other Christian traditions in the church.
I think it's so interesting that so many Christian traditions you won't find specifically in the Bible. It's kind of like we've read through stuff and piecemealed some stuff together. And this is our best guess for how we can ground ourselves in some biblical practices or biblical truths. So it was a couple of days, but so how do we get to 40?
How do we get to 40? And so 40 is an important number. It is mentioned several times in the Hebrew scriptures or the Hebrew Bible, what we call the Old Testament. We start off with the Israelites when they are freed from Egypt. They escape Egypt. They spend 40 years in the desert. Moses fasts for 40 days twice. Elijah, a main prophet, fasts for 40 days. And then, of course, we have Jesus fasting for 40 days. And so this number is very important, and that's kind of how we got to the 40 time period, which probably came into effect around 325 Common Era.
So it has been a long-standing tradition.
It has
40
been.
Days.
Yes.
Yeah, and you mentioned Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days, and we so try to model our lives after Jesus. And our scripture today, you know, it kind of talks about that. We see Jesus, like you said a couple episodes ago, we talk about baptism. So Jesus gets baptized by John the Baptist, and words are spoken over him. This is my beloved, who I'm well pleased. Yeah. Right after that, Jesus goes into the desert to fast for 40 days.
Yes.
Before he then starts his public ministry where he goes out and is feeding and teaching and healing all these kind of people.
And I was going to say, I think it's so important to, you talked about that story arc, and it's really important because you have Jesus being baptized, immediately going into the desert to be alone, and then going into the public ministry.
Right.
So I think that's something important to hold on to.
Right. So in that 40 days, though, he's fasting, so he's not eating.
Correct.
And he has three different temptations that kind of come up to him through the devil or through the adversary. And the first is... the devil offers him bread. And for someone that's been fasting for 40 days, that's a pretty tempting, temptation.
Right.
But Jesus says no.
No.
And then the devil takes him to a high place and says, throw yourself down and God will catch you. And Jesus says no. And then the devil takes him and shows him the kingdom and says, you know, this can all be yours if you just bow down and worship me. And Jesus says no.
Jesus says no.
And you would think that you're pretty worn down after 40 days of no food, solitude, you know, kind of wrestling with inner demons that you have going on. So those are pretty tempting.
They are. And there's just so much there that I just want to put out. But we're gonna do it in somewhat of an organized fashion.
We'll try.
However, before we get there, I do want to always point this out, and I know you do too, is like, this is complex.
Yeah.
And we're doing a 15-20 minute conversation on a very complex and old tradition in the church, Lent. We do not have all the answers. We won't answer everything, but we'd love your questions.
And we will say that we do have a longer format podcast conversation that comes out in the off weeks. And so those go in a little bit more depth, but there are books and, you know, PhDs and, there's a lot of information here. And so we're just trying to give a taster.
A taster. And I, you know, for me, I'm hoping that when people walk away from this, they walk away and they have a little bit of space to maybe reflect on their lives. They can think about their relationship with God, with other people in their life, with themselves. And so just a little bit of an understanding of what Lent is and what it could look like.
Yeah, a little encouragement to reflect.
So the first thing I just have to put out there is this whole fasting thing. And so, you know, these three temptations by what I call the adversary, because, you know, Satan is adversary. I get the power temptation. I get the trust God temptation. But fasting to me is such an interesting, and fasting is all over the Bible.
Yeah.
I do not understand how fasting brings you to a place of connection to God. It would just make me angry and super hungry, and I think it would take me away.
Right. And I will say, also being women talking about fasting, you know, there's always for me something in the back of my brain that's like, and maybe I could lose weight, or maybe I could, you know, fit into that bathing suit, whatever. You know, I don't know how pure my fasting practice actually is.
Well, and I agree. Like we talked about, fasting. And again, fasting's a social a spiritual practice that's all over the Bible. And I don't honestly think I could ever engage in it because I'd always have in the back of my mind, oh, but I could lose weight.
Right.
And so I don't know how it applies to us today. And I mean, again, we live in a Western developed country where most people, obviously not everyone has enough to eat. We actually have food deserts, food apartheid, especially now more with COVID than any other time. But in general, most of us always have enough before us. And it's I don't know how to even think about it.
Well, and a helpful way for me has been, maybe it's not fasting from food.
Right.
But what else can you fast from? And there's, you know, a number of things, you know, shopping, drinking, watching TV, being on social media. What kind of is the thing that is, you know, standing in your way of your relationship of God that you could fast from.
Right.
And I've seen some things floating around, maybe you fasting from apathy or fasting from anger or fasting from, you know, certain practices that we have come accustomed to. So maybe just taking the food out of it, but what else can you put in place there?
Exactly. And that makes sense. And I think that's kind of where I've gotten with the fasting component. But I feel like I needed to address it because like the other two seemed to make sense to me, but that one was one and I do struggle with it. And I'm not sure we have all the answers here. And I also think we have been fasting for a year, you know, being in COVID, you know, we've fasted from being in community with one another. We fasted from giving hugs to people. Mm. We've, you know, and so you know, maybe there is nothing to fast right now.
And that's okay. You know, I think maybe it is about just reflecting on the last year. Yes. This last year has been wilderness. This last year has been desert for a lot of us. What has that brought up for you? What has that challenged you? What is that? How's that broken you down? How has that opened yourself up? What does that really look like for you? I mean, a year, that's a long time.
It's a long time. And, you know, I think there's 3 points that we really want to go into today. And you're starting to get into the first one, which is wilderness is uncomfortable.
Yeah.
I mean, this last year has been uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm.
It has challenged us. It is not, and that's what wilderness is. That's what desert is. It's an uncomfortable space.
Yeah. If you look at Jesus in the wilderness, he gave up the things he was used to, right? He gave up bread, gave up friends, gave up profession for 40 days. So that's what this last year has looked like for a lot of us, giving up things that we are used to. And it has sucked.
It has.
I mean, there have been good things that have come from it, right? You know, we talked a little bit about, you know, the things we have added to our lives to make our communities and our nation better. One of them being, for me, and I know for you too, has been our participation with helping to ease some of the racial strife that
is anti-racism work.
Right, yeah. Anti-racism work. And so I don't know if that would have happened without COVID, honestly, for myself. So the wilderness has opened me up to that awareness and my participation in that.
I think that's a good point, because with COVID, we were isolated, and then you have the death of George Floyd, and, you know, we've seen other Black men killed. And while we have grieved that, I don't think it pushed me personally into the work that I'm doing now. But because I had to sit with that, and that's really what that desert is sitting in that space. And you gave this quote, and I love it. It's a Richard Rohr quote. I hope we post it. I think we'll probably post it on social media. But until we face our own demons, none of us are prepared to fight evil elsewhere.
Gotta love Richard Rohr.
Ah! And I mean, that's it. We have to go into that uncomfortable desert space so that we can deal with our demons, so that we can come out. Jesus goes out and does his public ministry, and we can fight it there.
It's so interesting to me that Jesus does this first. Jesus recognizes that he has to go into the desert first before he goes and does public ministry, because he has to fight some of those own demons. He has to have that conversation with the adversary about really, where does he stand? What is his real belief system? How is he going to, you know, do this ministry in a public way with people that are going to pull him in different, offer him different things and pull him in? He had to do that work first. Yeah. And for all of us, our inner world is so reflective in our outer experience and the way that we participate outwardly. And so if our inner world is a mess and noisy and angry, and, you know, that's how we're going to show up in the world. And so we got to face the inner stuff first.
And it gives us a time to retreat. Mm-hmm. And I think about times when I've gone on, and of course it's been a long time, but I've gone on a retreat, whether it's even with just other women, or I actually have done, you know, very short solitude retreats. It's a time for you to reflect. And for me, I've been surprised, like, what's come out of those moments, understanding myself to become more grounded. And I mean, I don't know what was going on with Jesus, but I want to believe that he grounded himself in that silence, in that quietness, in that space, and then goes out to do the public ministry so that he knows what to connect back to. And maybe even when he was in prayer,
right,
reflecting back on that time.
Right. Yeah. We talked in a couple episodes ago about how Jesus often went away to pray, and I'm assuming that he was reminding himself of that time in the desert, that grounding that he did in the desert, regrounding himself. So that's why Lent is we get a chance every year, and not just during Lent, all the time, but how important Lent is in the Christian calendar, that we really have this set aside time to be reflective, to be grounded in that God has called us to. Yeah.
And I think that takes us to our next step, which is when you're in that space, you really become selfless. You have an opportunity. I you know, we do a lot of ego work, which is the preoccupation with yourself, and I believe we're preoccupied with ourselves all the time. But when you kind of retreat back, you can reflect on that and selflessness. You know, how can you think about other people, other things in your community, other systemic issues that are affecting those that aren't just you?
And because we talked about, you know, okay, if you give up chocolate, let's say, what good is that doing for your relationship with God? What good is that doing for the world? You know, and one way I have come to think about it is maybe it's just this gift that you're giving to God during this time. It's an offering to God where you're saying, okay, just for these 40 days, I'm going to give up a small pleasure or a small comfort as my gift, as my offering gift to you to show that it's, I know it's not all about me.
Right.
And maybe it is something just like chocolate, which can be really hard.
Right.
or TV or, you know, but it isn't always have to be this like, you know, how am I going to change the world? It's just this offering. What can I give?
And I love, because I struggled a little bit with this. Like, I get the whole selflessness thing, but I'm like, why does God need me to give something up to show God that I love God? Doesn't God already know this stuff? And then you gave, I think, a great example, and it just clicked for me. So please share this.
It's kind of like the closest we feel we can get to how God must have a relationship with us is to be a parent.
Yes.
And for me, when I'm watching my kids play, and Max, who's my almost three, and Whitney, who's almost one, when Max gives up a toy to share with his sister, I don't love Max more.
No.
Because I already love Max to the capacity of my being.
Right.
But I delight in that act because Max is learning and recognizing it's not just about him. Of course he wants to play with a toy and hoard it for himself and not share with his sister. But when he does that, and I see in him that he knows it's not just about him, and he opens himself up just a little bit more to the fullness of being human, you know, I just imagine how God must delight in us when we do that too.
And it just clicked when you shared that example, because again, you're right. You don't love Max more when he does that. But I think what you see is, you see him loving more. Mm-hmm. You see him being coming into that more, that you said, that fullness. And that's what I see. And Max gave up something to share with his sister.
Right.
And so just in that simple example, it just captures so much. It just tells us so much. So I think that's what really being selflessness is about, and giving something to God, just that one little thing.
Yeah.
And I think that takes us into, you know, the wilderness leads us into this uncomfortable space. We have time to really think about selflessness and the preoccupation with the ego. And I think that then leads us into creating something new. And I think that's even in your example with Max. He doesn't realize it, but something new is created in that space.
Absolutely. And then to learn the practice of, right, the practice of sharing,
right.
And how we can continue that into adult. But yeah, you just think about how those little things can start, you know, a big practice, a little act can just send ripples. And so through ourselves and through the community. And so, you know, giving up chocolate might seem small, but try it. I mean, see what it opens you to. Offer it to God and see how God moves in your life.
And I think what you can also do when you give up something that may seem small, and again, you don't have to give up anything, because I think we do believe that we've given up so much this year.
Yeah.
And we'll talk about what that could look like in a minute. But even if you're giving up chocolate, maybe it's also reflecting on, you know, why do you like to engage? Like, why do you like chocolate so much? What about it gives you some, you know, pleasure? Like, what does that look like? And I know that sounds kind of trivial, but you know, it's like, you know, do you give up potato chips? And well, okay, maybe. And is it for a diet reason? Is it because it's holding you back?
I did that 1 year and it was so hard. I have to tell you, I am a potato. I have a salt tooth. People have sweet tooth. I have a salt tooth and I did potato chips, and that was a love offering to God. I will never do it again. I struggled.
But you learn something about yourself, yeah. Right? Even if you then go start eating potato chips again,
yeah.
It's so interesting to learn and seek with curiosity. Again, not judging yourself, but just learning, like, what does that look like for you?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but I do think we should come back to this idea, like, we've given up a lot and right. We've added a lot. And so sometimes people are going to be, I just can't, like, what does that mean for me this year?
Well, maybe it's just a pausing and reflecting on the year. You
yeah.
know, what have you really given up? Has it been community? Has it been the gym? Has it been eating out at restaurants? Childcare? I mean, you know, there's a lot of things that we have given up this year. Maybe just being a little bit reflective on what are those things, maybe even listing them, you
yes.
know, all of the things. I think you said something really important, spending a minute to grieve them and really recognize that this year has brought a lot of grief, not just lives lost, which we're at over 500,000 in the United States. I mean, we've had small sacrifices in this time also, but really being on, like, having a moment to grieve them, and then think, you know, what has it taught me? What has it opened up in me? Just spending some time in reflection.
And I think sometimes we're so hesitant to sit in that wilderness, in that uncomfortable space. But again, it goes back to, it allows us to create something new.
Yeah.
And so if I can sit with it and I can explore, you know, what does this mean for me during this Lent? We have some questions, you know, by giving something up or by experiencing COVID this last year, what did I gain with my relationship with God? Mm-hmm. How did I strengthen my relationship with God? What is God still asking me to maybe change or think about? And finding time to journal about those. And we've talked about, I know finding time is hard, but we have some resources available to think about how to do that from the last episode.
And journaling is just, I know it does seem maybe a little bit foreign.
Right.
But even just to sit, I mean, don't need to get a new journal. Just sit down with a blank piece of paper and just let the thoughts come. It's such a form of prayer. And I think it uncovers so much that we don't know is there. And like when I'm saying list them, like write them out. What are the things that you've really given up this year? Maybe another list. What are the things you've added this year?
Yeah, that's a great idea.
Because as you were saying, you know, how has my relationship with God changed? Also, I think about, how has my relationship with my husband changed? How has my relationship with my kids who are now home all the time changed?
Right.
How's my relationship with my community changed?
Right.
And so to kind of spend some time in reflection, and what, when we get back to whatever is next, new normal, what are you going to carry with you?
And I think we ended with, and this is another possibility, is movies, shows.
Oh, I forget.
We can't forget about this, because let's go back to this story arc where, Jesus is baptized. He goes into the wilderness, has this 40-day time to reflect, to ground, and then goes out to do public ministry. There's a change that happens, right? And so what movies or shows have you watched or have you seen that kind of have that experience? And we came up with a lot of Disney films.
Almost every Disney film.
I came up with Cars.
Right.
Right, because who's the main guy?
Lightning McQueen.
Lightning McQueen, sorry. My kids are a little older. Lightning McQueen, he literally goes into the desert.
Yes, he does.
And
so he's beloved, right? He's the race car, young race car. And then he goes into the desert and has self-reflection time and comes out a more full, loving, unselfless car.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. And so I don't know. I think it would be interesting to think of other movies. Maybe there's adult movies. We came up with Eat, Pray, Love.
Struggled with adult movies. Every child's movie, you know, Frozen, Moana, Toy Story, they're all, you know, they're right. All kind of have that kind of story arc. Right. But we would love suggestions on what you're watching that might have a similar story arc. But, you know, that a character is loved, falls from grace, and has moments of reflection, and then goes back
out. And there's
a
transformation. Yeah. There's something that changes within them. So I think that would be a great to do, is if you have suggestions on shows or movies, we'd love to hear from them.
We would love it.
Yeah. Anything else? You think we're good for right now?
Like we said, we could go on and on and on and on, but we'll wrap it up there and know that there is a longer format conversation that you can check out.
Yep.
Like always, we'd love to hear from you. So email us at info@thecollectivetable.org. We'll also have new music from Mystic Mercy and a meditation from Erica. Some art from Jennifer Jones. And you can check all of that out on our website or our newsletter. So make sure that you're signed up for that and subscribe to our YouTube and podcast. And if you have questions, like we said, we'd love to hear from you. So until next time.
We'll see you then.
We'll see you then.
Bye.
For the entire virtual collective package, including the video version of this episode, music from Mystic Mercy, art by Jennifer Jones, meditations with Erica Gibson, book suggestions, and other resources, please visit thecollectivetable.org. The Collective Table is supported by Cieneguito United Methodist Church in Encinitas, California. The original music you heard was created and performed by Mystic Mercy. This episode was recorded and edited by Stephen Hale. If you'd like to financially support the work of The Collective Table, please visit thecollectivetable.org.